So we've been working through this series called Forward, Claiming God's Promises, and we've been looking at the book of Joshua as our primary source material for that. And it's been, like, I've loved this series, like going through the book of Joshua, because we do a fair amount of Old Testament things for us in the church, but to go like chapter by chapter through here has been a new thing for me. I haven't done that much this way, and I've really enjoyed this series. And we only have one more week left with it. This week as I gave you like that little teaser at the beginning, I thought actually next week is a downer week. This week we look at what happens if we. This is good things. What happens if we allow God just to do what God does? Next week is, what if we take over control and it all goes to pot? You know, so we're going to end on that, so I apologize. But we will take communion next week, so that will be a good thing. But for this week, let's just take a moment to recap a little bit. So we're with Joshua and the Israelite people, the Hebrews that used to be slaves. They wandered around the wilderness for how many years? 40 years they were wandering around the wilderness. And then they get to the edge of the Jordan River. And Joshua is made the leader because Moses died. And then he's elevated in the eyes of all the people. So he's as if he is Moses with them. God brings about that kind of mantle of leadership upon him. And they're on the edge of the Jordan River. And then he sends spies across the river to check out Jericho. This is important for today. He sends out these two spies. They go meet this lady named Rahab, who was a prostitute. She was in the sex industry, probably by force. She is not a choice that she made, I'm sure of that. So they meet Rahab. Rahab gives them this deal. Like, I'll let you get out of Jericho if you... and I won't tell the authorities that you're here, these spies, you know. I'll let you guys out of Jericho if you preserve me and my family when you come and conquer the city. And so they made that deal. So just remember that, because that comes up today. And then they cross the Jordan River. They build a memorial. Well, last week we had all these rocks. Remember up front, if you were here, we had all these rocks. You'd maybe take a stone home about what God has done in your life so you can remember that this is a place where God has been with you. So that was last week, and now they've crossed the Jordan River, and so they're on the doorstep of Jericho. So the week that we talked about Rahab, we said that she was an unexpected hero. She's an unexpected hero. She's the least likely candidate to be a hero to save the nation of Israel. Like, she should not have been doing that, but she did. Unexpected hero. You all can be an unexpected hero for somebody. Today, we're going to look at the Battle of Jericho. I'm calling this the unexplainable victory. The unexplainable victory. That's when you win something that you can't really explain how or why. I don't know how this turned out so well. You know, I don't know why this turned out to be as good as it did. I don't know how. I can't explain why this worked out, because it really shouldn't have, because everything just lined up just right. I didn't really do anything. I didn't have much to do with it. It just worked out. How many of you experience things like that where it just, it just worked out? Yeah, it does. It can. Also, it can go the other way too, where like, it didn't work out at all. That did not go the way I planned at all. We'll look at that next week, okay? That's next week in the Battle of Ai. This is the Battle of Jericho, the story of the unexplainable victory of Joshua fighting the Battle of Jericho. Isn't so much about Joshua fighting anything. It's about being obedient, taking careful steps of obedience that God had for Joshua and the Hebrew people, and rather God giving them these strange directions to do these weird things, and then them just following the instructions, and God bringing the unexplainable victory. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Jericho. Jericho wasn't a very big city, but it was the biggest in the region, and it was the one that had the walls. Walls were meant to protect the people on the inside from the people on the outside. Anybody listen to Bible Project? So I've been binging through the Bible Project, the last two series that they've done. They're in one now called the Chaos Dragon, but this the previous one was about cities. And the reason why we have cities is because humanity gathered together basically after Cain and Abel had their little spat. Cain went and established a city. God marked him to protect him, but Cain, because he's human, decided God's mark was not enough. So he built a city with walls to protect himself. And what walls do is to protect humanity from the evils that humanity brings upon us. So we build these walls to protect ourselves, to preserve ourselves from those who are outside. Does that sound familiar to our national issue that we have at our southern border? Let's build a wall to protect ourselves because there is not enough for us. We can't share for anybody else. And we're threatened by what they might bring to us. I didn't mean to go down that road. Jericho had walls. Jericho had walls to protect themselves from the people on the outside. The Israelites were people on the outside. Now, they had pretty big walls. You can actually go to Jericho now, today, and see these really big walls. I can't make heads or tails of what that is, but the internet said it was Jericho. So, I mean, it's just Jericho ruins now as a foundation. There's a stairwell in there. It's pretty fascinating stuff if you want to dive into that. The walls of Jericho were huge. Even though the Israelites had 100,000 or more troops, they would never have conquered through because they didn't have the right war equipment to be able to lay siege and then bust through walls and stuff. They didn't have all that stuff. They couldn't have done it. So instead, God gives them a different plan. Joshua chapter 6:2 and beyond records that God tells them that he's already delivered Jericho into their hands. Even though they're still on the outside of the walls and the walls are still there, God tells them, I've already delivered it to you. It's already there. All you have to do is march around the city once a day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, march around the city 7 times. That's all you got to do. And, you know, blow some horns, make a shout, you know, that sort of thing. But otherwise, stay quiet, walk, take steps, walk quietly, just walk quietly around the city once a day for 6 days, and then the walls will collapse and the soldiers can just go in. That's it. That's the instructions. That's the game plan. That's the big thing. Let's just walk around the city. That's what we're going to do. And then shout. Take the army. Walk. Then shout. Okay, all these trained military men. Just walk them and then shout. Does anybody see how weird that is? Like, you guys think it's normal. It's not normal. Army men don't just walk and shout. They do that in training. That's what they do. And then when it comes time to battle, they actually battle. God is telling them, you don't even need to fight. Here's verse 6. Joshua chapter 6, verse 6. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army, advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. Now, I mentioned this when they crossed the river. It was the priests that went first. And now here it is again, the priests are going first. What we said about the river was God goes before you. You have to take God before you cross your Jordan River, before you go fight the battle. God goes before you. Allow God to fight that battle before you ever go. I don't know why it's the pastors that have to go first. I don't want to be that one going. Here's verse 8. Joshua chapter 6. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets. So they're just walking forward. There's trumpets going. The Ark of the Covenant's Lord followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests and blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All of this time, the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. So he had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. So they left camp. They went, walked around. Everybody walked in silence except for the trumpets going. And then they went back to camp. And they did that for 6 days. Here's verse 12. Joshua got up early the next morning. The priests took up the Ark of the Lord. 7 priests carrying 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the Ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them. The rear guard, does it sound familiar? It's the same thing. Same thing. They did this for 6 days, what it says at the end of that little passage there. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except on that day they circled the city 7 times. The seventh time around, when the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And the city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who were with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent." But keep away from the devoted things. That's like the things that they worship with. Keep away their objects of worship, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. So, like, just stay away from other gods, right? Other things that they use to worship. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury, must go to God. Verse 20, when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it, men, women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go to the prostitute's house, bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men who had done the spying went in, brought out Rahab, her father, mother, brothers, and sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it, but they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute, with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. Now, like, obviously, the day that was written, not today. Today, I want to interrupt the flow of the story. We're almost done, but Rahab's important because she had that agreement with the spies that she and her family would be spared, and the agreement they set up was exactly like the Passover agreement that God had with the Hebrews way back before they left the land of Egypt. They had the same signia that they would be spared. And if you recall from 2 weeks ago, Rahab goes on to marry an Israelite, and her son was named Boaz. Boaz is the kinsman redeemer of Ruth, who there's a whole book of the Bible about her, who becomes the great-grandmother of King David in the line of Jesus. So this prostitute Rahab is in the line and lineage of Jesus. It's powerful. It's powerful that God redeemed one in order to redeem all. Verse 26, at the time Joshua pronounced this solemn oath, "Cursed before the Lord is the one who undertakes to rebuild this city, Jericho." Pay attention to that. Comes in important later. "At the cost of his firstborn son, he will lay its foundation. At the cost of his youngest, he will set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. Man. All right, there's a lot. I read the whole chapter, except for the first, like, 5 verses. But it's a troubling story. So a whole bunch of people have to die and get wiped out, and the city burnt just so that the Israelites can move through the area, right? Like, that's troubling. That should be troubling to us. It's troubling. I think the complete and utter destruction of a city simply by a shout is troubling. I think the instructions are similar to the instructions given to the Israelites before crossing the Jordan, though. When God told them to cross the Jordan, they're like, "Just set your foot in the water, and then all the water uphill will pile up in a heap." And this one is troubling, too. Just walk around the city a little while. I wonder if God knew whether or not the walls were designed to withstand shouting. They can withstand rocks, spears, swords, battering rams. But there's something about that wall that sound waves will crack it apart. Something about trumpet sounds and sound waves that travel through the air, that our voices together, the war cry of the Israelites, will break that wall apart. Perhaps God knew that, and the Israelites would not have known that, but God knew that, God directed the people to do something unusual, and it's just up to the people to obey it. And here's what I want to say. Unconventional methods bring unexplainable victories. Unconventional methods lead to unexplainable victories. They're marching around the city in silence for 6 days. I'm telling you right now, if I was a foot soldier in that army, I would not put up with that. I would not do well with that. I'd be like, I am a trained military professional. I'm going to go kick some Jericho butt. And yet, we're just going to walk around this city this whole time? Are you kidding me? The sun is hot, and all we're doing is just walking around this city. You know they could shoot us from the top, right? Like, we're here, they're up, they could shoot us. And by day three, I'd be like, no, I'm not doing this again. I'd give it 2 days, but on day three, there's no way I'm going back out around that city again. And then to do it 3 more days after that. And then on the seventh, they're like, 7 times today. What? 7 times. Seriously, are we ever going to do this thing or what? Are we going to really take it over? It's an unconventional method. This is not something an army would normally do. God uses simple things to confound the wise. We find that out later in the New Testament. Sometimes our biggest hurdles just need a walk. Sometimes the things that vex us the most, we should probably just take a walk. Just take a minute. Take an hour. Take some time to just take a walk. And instead of going headfirst into a concrete wall, maybe you should just take a walk and pray about it and think about it. This might be some wisdom I'm learning. I have a bald head because of all the brick walls that I've run into over the years. Sometimes the thing that is hardest for us to overcome just needs a walk around it to sort through it and allow God the time and space to do whatever God is going to do. Just walk around your Jericho. Just walk around it praying. But praying, 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 praying. When we got the invitation to move down here and start our play cafe downstairs, the space wasn't ready yet. There's going to be 3 more years before the space was ready yet. And we walked this arcade hallway, and we walked around this block, praying, 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 praying. We walked up and down this hallway, praying, touching all the door handles. We didn't know then what we know now about door handles, you know. But we touched them and prayed them, Lord, for all the people we don't know yet that would enter through this door, we ask for you to bless them and introduce them to us so we can just minister to them and show them your love. That was the prayer. Because the building wasn't being worked on. That was a big wall. We could not overcome that hurdle. Eventually, the walls came down. It took 3 years, but we did it. We just prayed. Sometimes we just need to take a walk and pray and see if God knocks that wall down for us. But to do that, you have to trust and obey. Because he's going to give you an unconventional thing to do. This is not normal. People don't do it this way. God can give you an unconventional method, but you have to trust that it's going to work. And then actually obey. Actually do the thing that he's told you to do. You might think it's too strange of an order to follow. Like, you might be too embarrassed to do it. Nobody else is doing it like this, so I can't do it. I won't do it. It might be out of the normal flow of things, so you might be reluctant to take that step of obedience. But unless you trust and obey, then it won't happen. I told you I'd be a reluctant soldier walking around that city. I'd probably be kicking stones while we walk. Ah, this is dumb. Kick the stone. I'd be the one cracking the jokes in the line, you know, of the soldiers. I'd be making fun of the captain. Oh yeah, walk around the city. Okay, sir. You know, I'd be that guy, because that's the guy who I've always been, making fun of the leadership. But anyway, that's not obedience. It's not trust either. It's not following the orders the way they were intended to be. The Israelites trusted without question. They showed up. They just did the thing God told them to do. And that is really telling about their faith. They had great faith and confidence and trust. They had confidence in God's ability to bring them the victory. God said, I've already delivered this city to you. All they had to do was walk in that way, in that path. So let me ask you, this whole series has been about moving forward to claim the promises of God. What's God moving forward for you? What are you moving forward into with God? Does it seem crazy? Does it seem like there's too many challenges? Does it seem like no one else is walking around Jericho right now? Nobody's walking around this thing. Does it seem like this is probably not a good idea? It leaves you open to be attacked from the top. You're now a target for everybody else because now you've come close to this Jericho thing. Does it seem like an unconventional method, but you just have to have faith that God is guiding and providing for you in it? God uses unconventional methods to bring unexplainable victories. The next thing I want to highlight is just this. It's the power of unity. Power of unity. They were all in it together. We'll see next week where unity and obedience breaks down. But for this week, let's focus on the fact that they had unity. They were walking through this together. When it's time for them to move, they move. When it's time for them to shout, they shout. When it was time for them to attack, they attack. And it's only because they shouted all together, all at one time, all in one accord, that the wall actually fell down. The strength of their voices together in obedience with God caused the walls to crumble. If they had decided on day three that this was for the birds, and that they would have missed out on the victory. You know what? This is silly walking around. Actually, let's just walk around this city and go to the next one. I mean, they're all bundled up in that city. They're not hurting anybody. Leave them alone. Let's go to the next one. No. God had a victory for them. And together they did the simplest thing. They put one foot forward in front of the other, over and over and over, in the simplest act of obedience, just simply moving forward, just walking. They followed the program. God provided the victory. Too often we want credit for the victory. I want to say, I did something for this. I won the victory. Joshua fit the battle. Joshua won it. Mm-mm. God won it. To be honest, I've gotten a lot of credit for what happens with little arrows and all the different things. I get credit for engaging her because I'm the one on the stage, whatever. But none of it's true. None of it. We've done this together in response to what God has called us to do. We took every next step because this is the one that seems right. This is the next step of obedience that we have. And it's a we. It's a we. It's not a me. We did it. We simply did the next thing that God called us to do, and we did it together. And then more and more people just joined along to walk. All we're doing is just walking. We just walk together in it. Most of the time, that's all God wants you to do, is just be obedient to the next thing. We don't have to look that far. Just go forward to the next thing that God has for you. Why not just take a walk and let God do it with you? Let God knock the walls down for you. You can't earn the victory. You can't deserve the victory. You can only be obedient, taking one step in front of another, and let God create the victory in you. And then taking the city is easy. You just walk in because God's already gone ahead of you. We've made a connection from Joshua to Jesus a few times in this series. The Greek transliteration of the name Joshua is Yeshua. The English transliteration of Greek Yeshua is Jesus. So Joshua, Jesus, Yeshua, it's all the same name. Joshua destroyed the city and pronounced a curse on anybody who would rebuild the city of Jericho. But by the time we find Jesus 1,400 years later, Jericho's back. Somebody rebuilt the city. Jericho's back as a city. It's a little different, but it's back. And I don't know what happened to that curse of Joshua's, but it's back. And Jesus visits Jericho a couple of times, once on his way to Jerusalem at the end of his time on earth, another time when he encounters Zacchaeus. You know the story? Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he? He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. You know that. And as the Savior, pass that way. I feel like I need to finish the song now. The point of the story is Zacchaeus actually welcomes Jesus into his Jericho home. And Jesus enters into the city, and he goes into probably one of the more opulent homes in the city because Zacchaeus was wealthy. He was a tax collector. He had money. And so Jesus actually visits a home in the city of Jericho. Another time Jesus goes in, we see Jesus healing the blind man named Bartimaeus. You find that in Mark. Joshua came to destroy Jericho on his way to establish the kingdom. Jesus came to save Jericho on his way to establish his kingdom. And the thing that you want destroyed in front of you may just be the thing that you need to have redeemed in front of you. The thing that looks like this wall is in the way, and if it just came down, everything would be okay. But maybe that same thing is the same thing that would save you. This is a cheesy quote, Marcus Aurelius. What stands in the way becomes the way. The thing that is right there in front of you that seems to be blocking you may be the thing that propels you forward. Maybe the thing that is not the obstacle in your way, but the redemption that you've been waiting for, that this is the thing that I needed to get to the next step. God may want to take the thing in front of you that is blocking you and use it to propel you towards your greatest thing. The thing that people are meaning for evil, God is meaning for good. We just sang that. What the enemy meant for evil, God turned it for good. What's the thing in front of you? What's the thing in front of you? Does it need a Joshua? Does it need a Jesus? Does it need Joshua or Yeshua? Because either way, whether God knocks down the walls or uses the walls to propel you forward, it's an unexplainable victory. People will say of you, I don't know how you did it. I don't know how you overcame that. I don't know how you conquered that challenge. I don't know how you maintained your composure. I don't know how you made it through. It's an unexplainable victory. And it's waiting there for you. The unexplainable victory is there for you to be obedient, to take one step in front of another, just merely doing the next thing God calls you to do, and then claim the victory. Let's pray. God, you called the people to march, to put one step in front of the other, to witness the unexplainable victory. We acknowledge that our lives are filled with walls, challenges, struggles, obstacles that seem like we can't overcome them, yet you remind us that obedience, faith, trust, perseverance are the keys to witnessing your unexplainable victories. Help us to trust in your plan, even when we cannot see the outcome. Give us the courage to take a first step, to be obedient to your commands, to trust that just as you crumble the walls of Jericho, you can overcome the barriers in our lives. May we be steadfast in our faith, knowing that your promises are true and your love never fails. Help us to know that we need to have Joshua knock those walls down, and help us to know when we need Yeshua to redeem those walls, to propel us forward. And we pray for strength. We pray for patience as we navigate those challenges before us. Lord, in our moments of uncertainty, may we remember faithful obedience, in patient perseverance, unwavering trust in your power. May your Spirit guide us and grace sustain us. And we're going to sing a song here. And as we do, may this be a moment where you can start to think about, what is that Jericho? What is that wall that's in front of you? And does that thing need crumbled or does it need redeemed? Does it need destroyed or do you need to be propelled over it and forward through it? What is your Jericho? And what is your next step? What's the next step that God calls for you? Just take this step. Just take this step, because the victory is already there. You're just needing to step into it. Take these moments to, as we sing this song, to pray and think about what God might have for you. I know some people need to go, and if you do, just do that quietly and silently as we sing. But I encourage you to stay and listen to what God has for you, and what response you might make today.
Mm-hmm.